This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The legislative session for Massachusetts ended late last night with a flurry of activity on several key pieces of legislation. But just before midnight, time ran out on the new education funding bill. That bill would have updated the formula Massachusetts uses to determine how much money school districts get from the state. Now, the House and Senate both passed their individual versions of the bill to change this funding formula. But in the end, the conference committee could not reach a final compromise. Here to tell us about what happened last night is Max Larkin, WBUR's Edify reporter. Hello, Max.
Hi, Meghna.
Okay, so you were at the State House until basically this morning trying to figure out what happened. Give us an update on what went down.
Yeah, so the conference committee you mentioned had been meeting for a week in advance of last night. That's behind closed doors. Three senators, three representatives trying to hash it out. They were led by the two chairs of the Joint Committee on Education, Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz, Representative Alice Peisch. And walking the halls of the State House last night, even at 10 or 11 o'clock, people were scratching their heads. Is this big deal that we've been waiting for so long going to get done? Then around 11:30, maybe even later, I nearly caught Alice Peisch as she sort of zipped back into her office. Her people shot down a request I made for an interview. And then finally, I got a call from Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz's office and the news that the deal had basically fallen through.
Okay. So, this would have been a monumental change, which we'll get to that in a second, had it passed, to how the state funds K-12 education in Massachusetts. I mean, were people on Beacon Hill surprised that a compromise couldn't be reached?
I think the answer is yes and no, unfortunately. On the one hand, there was a lot of reason to hope that this was the time. This is a formula, Meghna, that, as we've said, hasn't been revised really in 25 years. We've known that it's way off the mark since at least 2015. And it's really a popular change to imagine more funding going to schools. A WBUR poll released in May found that 59% of respondents think we spend too little on education here in this state. 55% would support higher taxes to fund education. And, you know, at the same time, Sonia Chang-Diaz had put together a pretty big bipartisan coalition this spring to support this measure. Here she is in her office shortly after the deal failed late last night.
This bill should not have been difficult to negotiate. The legislature has been working on this issue for 8 years. The original bill was backed by two-thirds of the House, by 100% of the Senate, both Democrat and Republican. But in the end, the House leadership rejected all our offers, moved the goalposts, and then killed the bill completely.
So as I think you can hear in that tape, Meghna, Sonia Chang-Diaz was pretty devastated that the bill had gone down. Clearly, she was very tired as well. But I think there were, as I said, signs of trouble going back to when the House first released its version of the bill back in July. That came fully 2 months after the Senate version, and it had a few substantial differences of philosophy.
Mm. Now, all due respect to Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz, but that's we just heard her version of things. She's saying that the House kept moving the goalposts on this education funding reform effort. Just to remind folks, this all happened behind closed doors, right? So we don't exactly know what happened. You weren't able to talk to Alice Peisch. But were any of the members of the House, did she put out a statement? I mean, what is their view on why this happened?
Yeah, Meghna, we haven't been able to kind of confront and interview the House officials so that they get their response to Sonia Chang-Diaz's allegations. We did get a statement from the three House members of that conference, including Alice Peisch. They said, in effect, they were negotiating in good faith. And that throughout those last-minute negotiations, they were getting new information. In a sense, they were getting barraged by data and statements from DESE. That's the state's Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. And that information made them hesitate. I'll read from the statement. They wrote, "The need for additional time was made abundantly clear as we worked with DESE, which cautioned the potential variances in foundation budgets based on some of these assumptions could be in the hundreds of millions of dollars." In plain English, Meghna, House members were saying that state bureaucrats were in their ear telling them it would be easy to miss the target and spend too much or too little, and that they needed more time to think and analyze how much money needed to be spent.
Okay, but I'm a little confused by something, Max, because there's this new information from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, new information as of yesterday? I mean, this process has been going on for years. What information is this?
We really don't have any clarity about that as yet. We finally got a statement from DESE, specifically from Education Commissioner Jeff Riley, just a little under an hour ago. He confirmed that DESE staff were advising lawmakers as late as Monday night. Didn't say anything about last night. But he didn't add any new detail about the kind of information they were providing or what might have made House lawmakers so skittish.
Okay. So, I mean, I know this is kind of a conversation about Beacon Hill sausage making. I would just want to acknowledge to listeners that is what this is. But it's about such a vitally important issue in Massachusetts. I mean, education and the idea that we had a bill whose various versions in the House and Senate had overwhelming support in both the House and Senate, and yet we couldn't come to a compromise. It's still... I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So remind us then what the key sticking points were between the various versions of this ed funding reform bill.
Yeah, the Senate had put forward a version that was going to tackle four big costs at once. Those are, I've enumerated them on Radio Boston before, but they're special education, teacher benefits, and then educating specifically English learners and poor students. She wanted to do all four at once and put the state on track to make up those funding gaps. The House version wanted to focus on healthcare and special education. So we knew they were divided going into this session. I think because of that closed-door meeting, we actually find ourselves a little bit more perplexed as this process has gone on, whether there was a sincere possibility of a bill passing this session.
Okay. But, I mean, to be fair, we are talking about a vast amount of money, right? I mean, the Senate bill could have been, what, $900 million, $1 billion we're talking about?
That's right. Sonia Chang-Diaz, for her part, said last night that she felt that during the compromise process, she couldn't be specific, that they had worked their way down to a reasonable proposal she thought the House would have accepted. But I think it is worth noting that when the Senate passed its more ambitious bill back in May, the so-called millionaire's tax, which was going to fund education, that was still headed to the ballot. By the time the House weighed in, the Supreme Judicial Court had struck that down off the ballot.
So an important revenue source gone, right?
Yeah.
Potential revenue source.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I spoke to Noah Berger. He runs the Mass Budget and Policy Center. He actually worked on the original foundation budget back in 1993, and he supports a comprehensive change to update it in the present day. But even Berger admitted that if you want to do a worthy overhaul of that budget, the state probably does need a big infusion of new tax dollars.
To provide high-quality education in all of our schools and make sure we have adequate funding to do that probably does require a new state revenue source. And there's a lot of evidence that if you raise revenue at the state level, particularly in ways that are progressive, that make sure that high-income people are paying their fair share, and invest that in education, it improves the quality of life in the state and strengthens the economy in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked with Noah Berger a lot. I take his point, but I guess also buried in that, what you're saying, Max, is that there's the possibility that the legislature could have passed a bill that they possibly might not have been able to pay for. So that's an important thing to consider here.
I think in defense of the process, particularly Sonia Chang-Diaz's bill did have a prolonged phase-in. It wasn't as if we were going to suddenly be spending $888 million next
Poof,
year.
Magic wand of money.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Well, but as we discussed yesterday, Max, there are some school districts, most notably Worcester and Brockton, that are actually considering suing the Commonwealth because of this funding problem. So what are you hearing about today?
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to 25 years ago, it was only a lawsuit that made this sometimes inert legislature act and make a big change in the way that we funded education. And we happen to make some news in that area on this station this morning. Kathleen Smith, superintendent of Brockton Public Schools, same district that brought that original suit, was on Morning Edition with Bob Oakes. And she says she's really disappointed they didn't arrive at a deal. And she thinks her lawsuit, as proposed, has a little more reason to go forward now.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you that I'm hopeful, but I'm not going to tell you that we're going to sit here quietly and not do something about it. We've done that for a number of years.
Okay, so that could be coming down the pike then. Okay, but in the meantime, schools have to continue to fund, or they will continue, I should say, be funded under the current foundation budget formula that we have, which again, just to remind folks, as you were saying, Max, was first crafted a quarter century ago. And we do have the state commission review from a while back that says that the state is possibly underfunding schools by $1 to $2 billion. So I guess just there's a on the ground question here. What is this gap going to mean for school districts, you know, coming up even in the next year?
Well, it means something a little different in every district. Some districts are doing fine. They're spending well more than the state expects them to, and they're getting along okay. But those are the Lexingtons, the Westons. There are other districts, including Brockton, East Bridgewater, that are struggling with layoffs, increasing class sizes. Now, there are a few smaller tweaks to school funding on the horizon, little upticks for healthcare and English learners in the budget, and a supplemental budget that proposed by Charlie Baker that would send monies to districts for school counselors and social workers. Superintendents are always asking for more of that kind of support staff. But then again, you know, without a bigger overhaul, districts like Brockton, so says Kathleen Smith, are hanging by a thread. They might have more layoffs to come, and whether those shortfalls kind of prompt activism or a lawsuit or more of the same, that remains to be seen.
Well, that's WBUR Edify reporter Max Larkin. Max, thank you so very much. I heard you were at work until about 3 this morning, so I appreciate having you here today.
I'm glad to be here, Micah, in one piece.
Now, folks, I want to let you know that we did reach out, as Max said, to Representative Alice Peisch, who is co-chair of the Beacon Hill Education Committee, co-chair along with Senator Sonia Chang Diaz. She declined to join us. We also reached out to House Speaker Robert DeLeo. He declined to join us. We reached out to Representative Jeff Sanchez, who's chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He got back to us and said he was not available. So, you know, trying to still get word from actual lawmakers as to what happened last night, and the WBR Edify team will continue to plug away at that. But now, you know, we talked about with Max a second ago how popular the idea of giving an update to Massachusetts education funding reform, Massachusetts education funding formula is. And the question now is, what are people going to do about it? What are folks who wanted this bill to pass going to do about it? So joining us to talk about this is Charlotte Kelly. She's executive director of the Massachusetts Education Justice Alliance. That's an advocacy and activist group, and she's with us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so how are you reacting to what happened last night?
I was heartbroken when I heard the news, mainly because I have to go back to all my activists on the ground and explain to them why they're going to have to continue to underfund their public schools, why their kids aren't going to have textbooks in their classrooms, why they're going to see more teacher cuts, why they're going to see more librarians leaving the districts, and ultimately why they have to justify to their kids when they wake up this morning and say, sorry, you don't have a fully funded school. And I personally don't think that's our responsibility as activists and advocates to explain that to working people about why they have a different education than other kids across the Commonwealth.
Yeah. You know, so again, since the final conference committee was going on behind closed doors, we don't know exactly what happened. But as I, you know, as you heard me discuss with Max, there were questions about, you know, could the state pay for the major increase that, you know, the Senate bill was calling for? Max pointed out that it would have been phased in over years. But when that millionaire's tax idea got shot down by the SJC, I mean, people were looking to that as a potential revenue source. So, I mean, isn't that a legitimate reason to maybe say that this wasn't the right year to pass this bill?
The state's constitution says that we have to cherish public education. And when the Foundation Budget Review Commission came out, it said this is an urgent crisis that we're experiencing. That is 3 to 4 years ago, they said this was a crisis. That means things have only gotten substantially worse since that date. So to me, the Constitution says we need to cherish public education, and we're not doing that. So regardless of whether the Fair Share Amendment was or was not on the ballot, the state has a responsibility to be investing in public schools. They have a responsibility to be finding revenue sources. And ultimately, it's their job to make this happen, because public education is essential to our lives, to our kids' futures, to the Commonwealth. And ultimately, what it comes down to is, do we believe that kids deserve a just, bright, and fair future, and that they all deserve an equitable education?
So are you saying that you think that the legislature is not doing its job?
The Foundation Budget Review Commission said no. They said we're underfunding our public schools annually by potentially $2 billion. And since then, we've seen nothing but inaction on the state house level. To me, that's a real question of whether or not we're willing to take bold leadership in pushing our state forward and actually investing in our kids' futures. Because right now, I have to go back to my activists and I have to go back to the people I organize with and explain to them why House leadership did not believe that their kids were actually worth investing in right now and addressing this urgent crisis that we're experiencing. The public education community believes that this is a crisis. There was consensus that this needed to be passed ASAP, and they didn't do it.
So, I mean, as you said, you're an activist group. What are you going to do? What are there actions that you're thinking about taking?
Yeah, so we're going to continue to build power. We're going to have everyday people call their legislators, show up at their office hours, show up at their campaign headquarters, and ask the question, why didn't you pass this? 97 members of the House said that they wanted to have a debate and pass the full 4 foundation budget recommendations. There was a full unanimous vote in the Senate. The public education community believed this was necessary. So why didn't it happen? What fell apart? They're going to need to answer those questions to their constituency. We're going to continue to rally in the streets. We're going to build organized power. We're going to vote on September 4th, and we're going to hold these people accountable, and we're going to build a plan for when January rolls around. We know what we're going to ask for, and ultimately there are going to be consequences for the inaction that we've seen.
Meaning what?
That's a great question. I think voters will say that at the ballot box on September 4th. We've got loads of people who are calling us today at MAJA saying, how do I organize in my community? We've got people already asking their legislators, why did this fall apart in the 11th hour when we had all of this support leading up to this? And ultimately, we're going to continue to organize and push every single person in the Massachusetts legislature to make the tough decisions, whether it's raising revenue or passing legislation, to actually invest in public schools.
Okay. So to just one more thing, to get back to something that Max was telling us earlier, you know, Representative Peisch did have that statement where she said that they've received new information from the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education that made them think that, you know, this is a paraphrase. Mm-hmm. Max is still here. Maybe he can jump in and be sure I'm saying this right. But that made them think that this new information from DESE meant that the legislature might be sort of missing the mark in terms of the bill that they were trying to pass. I mean, if that is indeed the case, why pass something that didn't do it right or was ultimately an idea that wasn't going to achieve the goals that it wanted to? Did you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They seem to have had a legitimate reason. We don't specifically know what it is, but if what they were trying to work on wasn't going to work, why do it? Why not just, I guess, do what they did and try again in the next legislative session?
We've been waiting 3 years for them to do something. They've had 18 months in this legislative session to have this conversation, and they decided to have it at 11 o'clock on the last day of session. The time is up. Our kids cannot wait any longer. The consensus in the community is that the Foundation Budget Review Commission's report gives those clear guidelines as to what needs to happen in order to improve schools, and that means they've got to put money and update the foundation budget. So obviously, they've said that DESE has brought new information in. Let's see that information. Let's get comments on the record. Let's explain to everyday people why their kids' schools are going to continue to be underfunded. But all I know is I look at the Foundation Review Commission report that had hours and hours of painstaking labor put into it, and to be told that this isn't good enough is a really confusing thing to hear as a constituent and as an activist.
Now, I said the last thing. I always do that. But this is the real last one. Earlier today, you put out a bunch of tweets that were pretty impassioned. And in those tweets, I felt like you were saying that you were fed up with how the legislature works.
Mm-hmm. I think people are fed up.
Are you?
I'm tired. We were told every step of the way that this was impossible to pass this legislation this session. And we got it to conference committee right before the end of the deadline. We pushed every limit and got this to a place where people wanted it to be voted on. The Patriots said, just do it, just pass it, you know? And I think everyday people are going to organize, they're going to mobilize, they're going to build power in their communities, they're going to uplift the voices of people who are most hurt by this. And ultimately, what it's going to come down to is us taking back the State House as a body that's supposed to represent constituents and listen to the people and be our servants for change. And until that happens, we're going to keep fighting.
Well, Charlotte Kelly is Executive Director of the Massachusetts Education and Justice Alliance and Advocacy and Activist Group. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And again, I just want to remind folks that we did reach out to Representative Alice Peisch, to House Speaker Robert DeLeo, to Representative Jeff Sanchez as well, and they all declined to join us. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.